Hello and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your definitive guide on how to scale your startup.
This first tip for every fintech startup is,
what are the media and press saying about us? How are we being perceived by these people?
PR stunts are any activities that allow you to engage with the audience.
I don't agree with the fact that all publicity is good publicity.
Here is where we talk to communications professionals from all around the world to let you know what are the best practices and cool ideas that you can implement for your startups. Christine, can you share with our listeners a brief explanation of who you are and what Marquee Media does?
Sure. So I've been in the PR and digital marketing industries for, let's see, I don't want to date myself, but I guess I am, about 14 years now. I started my first business when I was laid off from my management consulting job back in 2009 during the financial crisis. So when I did get laid off, I was trying to figure out whether I wanted to start a business or get a job. I decided to go against all my family and friends' wishes of starting a business, and I did. And luckily enough, I was able to scale quickly and hire my first team within the first 4 months of launching. So it was very rapid. And that's how I started my first business. And Marquee Media, now we're smaller now. We actually have about 30 clients on our roster, and we specialize in funnel development, marketing funnel development, PR, and we do a little social media, but we try and, allocate that or give that to the people that are real experts. And that's kind of who we are.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on turning a negative into a real positive. That's always the best start to any kind of story, or certainly a success story anyway.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for joining me today. And today we are discussing and dissecting the biggest mistakes made when trying to convert leads to sales. Now, when asked about this before the call, the first point you stated was ensuring you have the right leads going through the right segments is critical to turning strangers into customers. Can you expand on this for our listeners, please?
Sure. So you don't want to try and sell something to somebody that's not interested in them. So you need to, the first point is you want to qualify your leads with offering the right lead magnet or the right tripwire. And then it's going to be a lot easier to segment them and upsell them through your value ladder, right? So it's essentially turning cold leads to warm leads to hot leads. And with today's technology, it's very easy to segment out all of your different leads or people who end up signing up for your email list. And for us, we have, on FemFounder, I think we have about 30 lead magnets in different areas of digital marketing and publicity. And what happens is when somebody ends up opting in for a lead magnet on mindset or systems, they're going to actually be triggered and sent into a very specific sequence that is specific to whatever lead magnet that they ended up signing up for. So let's just say mindset. Somebody ends up opting in for a mindset lead, they'll actually go through the first point within the value ladder, which is our lowest price offer is $9.99. It's an ebook on mindset self-care for entrepreneurs. Then from there, they'll actually move up to the next rung on our value ladder, which is $297, and so on and so forth. It's just a natural progression of feeding your leads through your funnel. You don't want to try and sell somebody on, some software if they're actually interested in learning about fitness. It just needs to make sense, and it needs to have a logical progression for how you're going to move your customers, your potential customers, through your funnel.
Awesome. Yeah, that kind of reminds me of a phrase that I love, which is like fish where the fish are. And you're absolutely right. You want to sell to the right people, the right things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And the thing that I see so many of my potential clients, when they, before they end up signing with us, is, they're selling some type of, you know, supplement, or they're trying to sell some type of beauty box, but they're targeting people that are way out of their demographic. And it really comes down to picking who your ideal client is or who your ideal customer is and meeting them where they are. I understand that could be ambiguous or overwhelming to some entrepreneurs, but with the internet and social media, it's so easy to find where your ideal customer is.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd also love to know, like, how can being too pushy while trying to educate prospects in the middle of the funnel be an issue, in your opinion?
So the one thing that I see a lot of the big guys do, and, you know, I think it works to a certain degree, and one thing that I've tried to stay away from is selling people every single email or, you know, a webinar or something to get them to convert. The middle of the funnel should be used for education only. And you might want to put a soft pitch in there once in a while, but you never want a hard pitch because it's going to turn people off. And people don't like to be sold. And that's pretty much the bottom line. You know I hate to be sold. And whenever somebody does try and sell me on something, I just pull back, retreat, and, you know, just completely shut down. And I think a lot of consumers do that as well.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than that feeling of someone trying to sell to you and just overwhelming you and being almost too needy. I mean, being too needy in any situation is pretty bad, but to be sold to is, yeah, probably one of the worst. Yeah.
Agreed. Absolutely. So it's all about framing your offer in a way that's going to help educate your consumers on why you are the top pick in the industry or the obvious choice, you know, in the marketplace. And I understand that there are a lot of entrepreneurs when it comes to writing copy, they're really only thinking about themselves and they're promoting themselves. They really aren't thinking about the end user or the consumer. And when a potential customer ends up reading how wonderful you are, they don't really care. So my biggest piece of advice is, you know, learn about how your product or service or software, whatever it is you're trying to sell, is going to benefit the end user, and write your copy so that you're actually educating this person on how whatever it is you're selling is going to make this person's life better. You know, the one thing that I actually like to do in my copy is have a grid, and it's one side is what life is like before, you know, our PR course, and what life is like after. And those bullet points or that grid actually does a great job of educating what life is going to be like after, you know, one of our students gets featured in Forbes or Inc. or becomes a contributor to Entrepreneur. And those little things could make or break a launch and your conversions if you're trying to sell something, you know, that's evergreen.
Yeah, that example you shared, it reminds me of like a text version of those before and after photos that you see of like exercise programs or something like that.
If you're interested in seeing how Publicize can grow your startup, sign up for a free PR assessment on our website. And for a limited time only, exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, you can receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge with this special promotion. To find out more, visit publicize.co/lspromo.
I love the fact that you brought up copy because I wanted to ask you about that, and you added some good points there, but I'm not sure if you could maybe expand and share with us some of the biggest copy mistakes you've seen outside of the ones you just mentioned, and what are some of the most common ones perhaps, other than just them talking about themselves all the time?
Yeah. So making your copy so that it's 50 pages long. you know, those long sales pages that, you know, used to work 15, 20 years ago, I think for certain segments they can work. But what I would suggest is create, you know, I want to say maybe like 3 or 4 paragraphs, pull out all the bullet-based benefits and incorporate those into your copy. Keep it short, keep it sweet, have a really engaging headline, and just keep try and keep the reader engaged. I know it actually sounds kind of abstract and maybe even impossible, but it really isn't. I find that headlines in the form of a question actually do better than just statements. You have a subheadline, maybe you have a paragraph, and then 10 bullet points, and then have your offer or your call to action. So I find that shorter, sweeter, benefit-based copy converts better than, you know, those tremendously long sales pages, you know, would be like 50 or 100 pages if you were to print the sales page out.
Yeah, that's so true, especially in the sense of bullet points. I know it's a personal thing and you can write copy potentially however you want and it to be successful, I suppose, depending on your writing style or how you approach it. And it's the exact same with pitches. But personally, I find that keeping it short and sweet, and especially with those bullet points, that really drives home the message of what you're trying to convey to the person. And I'll even give the example of, like, I receive a lot of pitches from people that want to be on this show. And one of the reasons that I accept people is because they do exactly that. I mean, I know, like, when we first began speaking, you sent over a pitch and it did exactly that. It was to the point. You had good bullet points, and same with the rest of my guests. So I feel like pitches and copy, there's a lot of overlap there, but they both have the same kind of formula in order to be successful, from my perspective anyway.
I absolutely agree with you. You know, I get, just as a side note, because, you know, I do write for Forbes and Entrepreneur, I get pitches from PR people, not even from entrepreneurs, but PR people, for me to cover them. And it's like, you didn't even read my columns, because I don't write about other people. I only write about my own thought leadership. And the same goes for writing copy. You know, you need to figure out who your customer or your reader is and give them exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Now, I would love to ask you, or like, get your thoughts on, how should a business effectively qualify prospects?
Well, I think that especially service providers, you know, agencies, you know, info entrepreneurs, publishers, bloggers, influencers, I think that being upfront and disclosing what your expectations and your rates are going to help weed out the people that are not the right fit for you, or they can't afford to hire you. You know, I think that, yeah, just being honest and not hiding what your prices are is going to help you convert at a higher rate, ultimately.
Yeah. The faster you do that, the easier it's going to be, because you don't want to spend all your time on a prospect and then only to find this stuff out later on. Might be hard and might be harsh at times, but it's very necessary.
I absolutely agree. You know, just as a side note, my husband and I are doing renovations and we're putting on an addition to our house. And when we were looking for an architect, we were very upfront with them. We said, this is our budget. This is all we can afford. And if you can work within this budget, great. If not, we will find somebody else. So I think it is the same thing for, you know, the service provider or whoever it is, you know, that's trying to attract leads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, this is going to be my last question. So I would love to know, how should a business effectively craft an effective nurture sequence?
Sure. So obviously every industry is different, every business is different, but in my experience working on the countless number of funnels and nurture sequences that we've done for our businesses and as well as for our clients, is keep the sequence short. I would say like no more than 4 emails, because people have a tendency to fall off after the third one. Make sure you're writing to that person and it feels like that the reader is the only person that's receiving that message. And segment out your list. Make sure that your nurture sequence is specific to whatever it is or whatever segment you're trying to re-engage. So for instance, I would never send a publicity nurture sequence to somebody or to customers that want to know about self-care for entrepreneurs or operations or systems. You know, personalize it and keep it short and keep it focused on the reader. And that's pretty much the best advice that I can give.
Awesome. Well, I think that's good advice. And if people want more advice from you or more information or just to keep up to date or even reach out, how can they do that, Kristen?
Sure. So there's 2 different ways. So we could connect on Marquet, which is marquet.company, and our sister site, which is for female entrepreneurs, but we've really kind of segued into serving men as well, male entrepreneurs, which is femfounder.co.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining me today, Kristen.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.